The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on PGATour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
And hello once again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you, and this is a historic day. Yesterday, an historic day for the 146th Open Championship at Royal Birkdale, because virtually out of the depths of depression and seemingly losing the Open Championship, Jordan Spieth pulled out one of the great final rounds that you're ever going to see in major championship golf to win. He is the champion golfer of the year, and he wins the Open Championship, the 146th. It was so meaningful to him, and we're going to talk about that for the entire show today. Joining me, as always, Frank Bassett from the Nashville studios, who is still spine tingling and the hairs on the back of your neck have not sat down yet, have they, Frank?
No, they haven't. Unbelievable. I mean, just crazy, exciting, nuts. Don't listen to me. I had to watch it on TV like you did. But there's somebody else out there that might have some insights.
He does. He was right there to witness it in person. We talked to him before the tournament earlier last week, and he's with us again from Manchester, leaving tomorrow to come back to the United States. But he was the man on the scene. Bob Bupka joins us. Bob, how are you doing today? Are you still out of breath a little bit from from what happened yesterday?
Well, I'm in the recovery mode, to say the least. You know, when you watch a final round of any tournament, and then a major championship, what you expect to see is somebody play really well and go on to victory. I mean, that's the formula that's been used for a long, long time. I have never seen anybody play so bad. I mean, so bad. Five over par, you know, and looking like it was going to get worse. And then turn it around with a, you know, the bogey is probably what saved him. And then he makes a birdie, then he makes an eagle, then he makes a birdie, then he makes a birdie. I mean, that kind of turnaround, you guys, you just don't see. It takes a lot to get used to. I really don't know whether you're going to tell me I've just had a dream and they're going to play the fourth and final round today.
It was unbelievable. Oh man, Tim and I were talking, Bob, earlier before we brought you in live from, and I was out of my head on the first four or five holes, just jumping up and down, screaming at the TV, going, "What are you doing? Calm him down." What do you think? Was he nervous? I mean, his putting stroke just looked really
shaky.
Yeah, bad. I mean, it was just he looked like he was scared to me, and that boy's not scared of anything.
Well, you know, we say that, but the magnitude of what he was confronted with was incredible. I mean, the fact that he was going to join Jack Nicklaus as the only player in golf history to win three majors before the age of 24, you know, that kind of stuff, that type of achievement is going to make anybody nervous. And I'm sure that he was nervous. He had a couple of good things happen to him. Number one, he got to play with Matt Kuchar. He had played with him the day before, so he was very comfortable in that twosome. There's probably not a nicer guy in the world to play with than Matt Kuchar. I was trying to envision, and you guys can paint in the colors here. I was imagining, you know, on that hole where he was having all that trouble, and it took 29 minutes to play the 13th hole. 29 minutes. I mean, I was imagining Colin Montgomery being the player down in that fairway instead of Matt Kuchar. It might have been a different story.
Would have been a little bit different. And by the way, Jordan Spieth did a great job of going over to Kuchar as soon as he could, getting over to the back to the fairway, and profusely apologizing for all the time it took and everything. And Kuchar was cool. He said, "Hey, I get it. I understand it." But certainly it had to affect him to some degree. And something that we all mentioned, we all talked about that are covering this event and watching it, is that Kuchar, while it might have affected him, still played very well. He birdies two of the next four holes. He goes the next four holes two under, and he drops two shots to Jordan Spieth. That's the amazing thing about it. And he even said that. He goes, I was fine. I got a couple of birdies, and I came back, and everything was going fine. But he said, I still lost ground with my two under in the next four holes to Spieth. And at that point, all you can do is shrug your shoulders, much like Daniel Berger did at the Travelers when Spieth beat him in the playoff by holding out from the bunker. He kind of just looks over and put his thumb up. And same thing with Kuchar. Yeah. At some point, he's saying to his caddy, oh, my God, there's nothing else I can do. I'm making birdies here. I'm making pars. I'm hitting the ball well. Look at this guy nailing putts. So you just kind of got caught in the vortex of Jordan Spieth, like guys have done with Tiger Woods and other great champions. And I truly think that he's one of those type of guys. And I think Spieth is – I don't know where he's going to stop. I don't know if he'll get to 6, 7, 8, 12 majors. But at this young age, he certainly
– 14, 14, 15.
It's hard to argue. Yeah, it's hard to argue that his future is incredibly bright.
Well, you make a good point there, Tim. You know, Matt Kuchar certainly played well, and he had plenty of time to think about the fact that, you know, he's 39 years old. He's won 7 times on the PGA Tour. You know, past 39 into your 40s, you know, you still have opportunities to win majors, but they're considerably less than prior to that, you know, age. So he had to be thinking this was a glorious moment for him. The funny part was, when asked about the driving range, which really aided Jordan Spieth, and he was certainly very cool about selecting that option of taking the unplayable lie, going back, leaving the spot where his ball ended, and the flag stick as far back as he wanted, they, you know, were completely caught off guard in the fact they never talked about making the driving range out of bounds, because not in a million years would they think that a golf ball was going to be played from there.
Right.
So John Paramore was the lead official, and he's been one of the best for a long, long time. And he was on top of the situation, and it just started to, you know, it just took too long. Is probably the ultimate answer. I mean, I agree with what Jordan did. I agreed that he should be allowed there. Somebody somehow should have sped up the process. Being 29 minutes to play a golf hole, especially in a major, and they were on the clock prior to that. They were asked to play a little faster. So they were playing slow, and then they get this situation. It just compounded it.
We're talking again with Bob Bupka, host of The Grill Room on TuneIn Radio. And I think, had they not been in the final pairing, I have to think that Spieth would have sped up a little bit. And it sounds like a play on words there. But I think he would have gone a little bit faster. He knew he wasn't affecting anybody but Kuchar, and that was bad enough. But he wasn't holding up the rest of the tournament or more foursomes behind or twosomes behind him. So I think they're part of that was the fact that they knew that they're in the last group, that he was slow. But having said that, I'll tell you what, it was almost like watching a great boxing match, and the drama of it. It's just, and he was soaking the drama out of it. I said to Frank before you came on, Bob, that it wasn't a coincidence, I don't think. I mean, it was, but where he decided to drop was right next to the Titleist truck, which was which is of course his club and his ball. Almost like when Tiger hit that shot at the Masters,
Nike,
and took one last spin and sat there with the Nike, almost like, let's just show that for a little bit. And the Nike guys are going, oh, perfect. The Titleist people had to be going crazy, saying, thank you for dropping right next to our truck.
You know, in New York right now, the marketing company and the PR company for Titleist, they're taking that footage and they're putting a new commercial together as we speak, Bob. I mean, they have to. It was perfect. Yeah. Of course, I don't know, Bob didn't get to see that on TV unless you saw the replay, but it was just perfect. He was right in front of the Titleist, beautiful black Titleist truck and trailer.
Like the Titleist. They framed the shot.
Yeah. It was great.
Yeah, it was incredible drama. Hey, Bob, I'm curious, too, about the feeling there in that area and right there around Royal Birkdale, of those fans that are very knowledgeable and love their golf and everything else. Are they, it seemed to be, but were they big Spieth fans? They love Kuch. You heard Kuch everywhere. Every time he had a good shot, too. Where do you think the fans stood?
Well, you know, Tim, they love golf, and they did set a new open record 239,000 people, 4,000 more than were at Royal Troon the year before. The issue was compounded on Sunday. There was a local railroad strike that kind of affected how people were getting to the tournament. But, you know, it's just impossible to describe to you how much they love their golf. I mean, Friday morning, we were arriving at the golf course maybe 5:30 in the morning, and the weather was, you know, we knew it was going to be horrific, and they were just coming in droves. I mean, you know, they had their wetsuits on, and they had their umbrellas. They come prepared. And one statistic that I looked up, and I think this is worth telling, guys, because we really can't predict the greatness of Jordan Spieth at this juncture. Certainly everything that he's done to this point, the three majors before 24. But the one thing that I found since October of 2014, October of 2014, Jordan Spieth has never gone more than 12 events without a victory. Now that is unbelievable.
Yeah.
So bear that in mind on what we're talking about when we're looking at this kid.
Do you think again, we're joined by Bob Bupka joining us from England the day after the Open Championship and Jordan Spieth winning his third major. Is the hyperbole out of control at this point, Bob, with all the comparisons, and now he's the youngest to do this, and he and Jack and he and Tiger, and they go on and on and on about all that stuff? Or is it appropriate? Do you think he is deserving of all that? I know we all get caught up in the drama of it, and as announcers and media people and headline writers and whatnot, about everything being great because it's current, it's today. But do you think it's appropriate? You've been following golf a long, long time.
Well, that answer really is in the hands of Jordan Spieth. Certainly there are those that are quick to bestow that type of greatness on Jordan Spieth. There are others that say, you know, let's wait a little while. You know, he's got the one fascinating thing about golf right now, guys, and I'm sure you're aware of it. We have three players, one victory shy of completing, you know, winning all four of the major championships. And it's three different events. You know, we got Phil Mickelson looking for a U.S. Open to complete his Grand Slam. We got Roy McIlroy looking for the Masters to complete his Grand Slam. And now we have Jordan Spieth looking for a PGA Championship to complete his Grand Slam. I think it's unprecedented to have three players at, you know, needing just one victory, and it's a different victory for everyone. And for those that are quick to say, well, don't worry, Jordan Spieth will win a PGA championship. I mean, that's easy to say, but believe me. And it, you know, I've heard people say that, but then I look at the career of Arnold Palmer. Arnold Palmer never won a PGA championship.
Right.
So, you know, nothing's automatic, especially when it comes to majors.
What was the mood like? Oh, I know what the mood was like. What was the electricity like, Bob, after the tournament in the media room? You were there close to Jordan, I'm sure. And what just tell our listeners what the heck it was like.
Well, I mean, it was very festive. Everybody was happy. Everybody was excited. But I think it all pales by comparison to probably what was happening down at PGA of America headquarters when they suddenly realized that their event in 3 weeks could see somebody achieve the Grand Slam. So that event went through the roof as far as attention.
Oh, yeah.
And I heard so many members of the media saying, you know, just got a call from my editor, my boss, my this, my that. If Jordan wins, I'm going to the PGA Championship. So a lot of members of media were pulling for Jordan because they wanted to come to Charlotte and they wanted to be at the PGA Championship. Pete Pavakwa, the head man at the PGA of America, was actually over here for the first few days. Julius Mason was in the media center walking around. But even at that point, we didn't know that Jordan was going to prevail. But now a lot of attention is going to be on that fourth and final major this year. And what a scene that'll be. Then, you know, if Jordan wins the PGA, then we are probably have to start comparing him to Jack and Tiger because he would have earned it.
I'll tell you, that PGA victory, I don't know about that. That golf course, you know Quail Hollow. I've played it numerous times. That is one brutally difficult golf course. That's going to be a tough reach for Jordan, I think.
So you're not going to automatically give it to him?
Well, I'm going to pick him.
What you're saying.
Yeah, I'm going to pick him. You know I will.
Are you going to pick him? Okay.
You gave me three picks. Remember on the Wednesday show last week? You said, Frank, I give you three picks. Who do you pick? I said, Spieth, Spieth, and Spieth. Thank you.
Boy, and you should have thrown some money to Bob to put on the legal wagering over there in England. The money was on Spieth, was it not, Bob? Wasn't he the favorite going into the tournament Thursday?
Yeah, he really was. I mean, he was the overwhelming favorite, and congratulations, Frank. On a selfish note, I did a Scottish radio network where they really love their golf, and I was on a preview show last Wednesday evening, and the last thing that I was asked, they wanted me to pick an American that was going to do well that I thought could win, and I said Matt Kuchar. And for 3 days, while Matt was up and around and near the top of that leaderboard, the reporters, they even had me on Scottish TV. Now, that's a scary thought.
I saw that, yeah.
You know, so, yeah, so I almost pulled off a Houdini here if Matt Kuchar had prevailed. But all in all, it was, you know, it's hard to describe it. It's really a long week, you know, for Janice and the team that I work with, without, you know, sounding like I'm looking for pity, but traditionally we'd get there 5:30 in the morning, and a few nights we're not leaving until 9:30 at night. So, it's a long day, but it's the Open Championship. It's been played for 146 years. We consider ourselves lucky and fortunate enough to be there. I mean, it's not work to us. We're passionate about what we do, and anybody that loves golf, and you got some great listeners of Golf Talk America. I would highly recommend, you know, keep it in mind, man. Plan a trip. Come to the Open. You want to come to a good one? Come next year when we visit Carnoustie. Well, the toughest golf course that they play in the Open rotation. So that would be a good one to plan on right now. And I guarantee you that you will enjoy yourself.
Yeah. I tell you what, it was fun watching, Bob. It was a lot of fun watching. And also, did you post that picture of Janice asleep in the chair in the media center? Was that you?
The one thing I regret last week was doing that to Janice because she actually was only asleep for 5 hours. So it wasn't like she was sleeping there all day.
Well, we appreciate all the work you and Janice did, your producer, to bring all the action to people over the weekend and for hooking this up. I don't know. You're probably in a hotel room somewhere in Manchester. You got to fly out tomorrow. I know you got a lot of things going on. So we really do appreciate you taking time to talk to us and give us a little up close and personal take on what it was like to be there for such an eventful championship. And once again, Bob, safe travels back, and we'll be talking to you again, I'm sure, in the next week or so.
Well, thanks for having me on, guys, and enjoy the wonderful job that Jordan Spieth did in winning his third major. It truly, truly was something very special. Thanks, guys.
Okay.
Have a good one.
Take care.
See you, Bob.
Bob Bupka,
right,
host
bye-bye.
Of the Grill Room on TuneIn Radio. And, yeah, Janice, we're talking about Janice's producer that makes it all possible, does all the hooking up of everything, and is a technical genius.
Yeah, she's great.
We appreciate it. He sounds like he's next door. I mean, he's in London, or he's in Manchester.
And
it sounded perfect. So, I don't know. Sometimes I'm a little scared, Frank, just talking to people on the cell phone that's, you know, 10 miles away, much less 8,000 miles away.
Yeah.
So
no, it was great.
We got it.
Janice does a great job getting us all hooked up. And, you know, she does some editing and producing for us, too, to help our show out. So we really appreciate
because
that.
Because she is such a genius.
She is smart.
So good.
Well, let me tell you
everybody
something.
Wants her.
She's a great golfer. And I wonder if she's using her vertical groove driver.
I don't know.
She is.
We have to ask her next time we have them on. By the way, let's take a break. We'll come back and recap kind of what happened and what our thoughts were about it, but I also want to congratulate Grayson Murray. Grayson Murray wins his first PGA event, and as we all know, when there's a major going on, there's also another tournament that's happening on the PGA Tour. This happened to be the Barbasol Championship that you were at last year, if I'm not mistaken, or was it 2 years ago?
2 years ago.
That you did it. Yeah. Was it 2 years ago? And what is that, Opelika?
Opelika. Opelika, Alabama.
Opelika,
right,
Alabama.
Right outside of Auburn. You know, Auburn is, let's see, Clemson, Auburn, Auburn, Clemson. Get them mixed up. One has a lake, Clemson. Auburn with a lake. There you go. Auburn's very close. Auburn University is very close,
21 under, and should beat Chad Collins by just one shot. So congratulations to Grayson Murray.
Wait a minute.
Unfortunately for – okay, go
wait
ahead.
Wait a minute. No, our very own Dickie Pride performed well in that tournament. We'll get his stats. We'll have Dickie on this week to talk about it. He was making lots of birdies down there. So
yeah, he played well. Definitely do that. But I'm just saying, it was and Dickie Pride finished 13 under, shot a 67 in his final round. 68, 68, 68, and 67 for Dickie Pride. And the thing is, and not that Grayson Murray is going to be too disappointed by it, but I mean, you talk about going under the radar. you win your first event, and everybody's eyes and ears and
Spieth.
That day and today, all they're talking about is Spieth and the Open and Spieth and Spieth and Spieth. And you're kind of like waving your hand going, I won today too. And
we should give Murray some love this week. I'll tell you what, I'll reach out today and we'll get him on the show. Give him a little love. That'd be good.
Ask him if he was actually checking his phone to see who was winning the Open while he was trying to win his first tournament. I mean, the whole world was curious and caught up in it. Yeah. It was phenomenal. So, all right, let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back and wrap things up about what happened at the Open Championship. So much to talk about, so much drama. And, again, congratulations to Jordan Spieth. What I want to talk about, Frank, when we come back, is Michael Greller. We haven't mentioned him, but Michael Greller, who I've gotten to know a little bit, did a phenomenal job, and Jordan Spieth gave his caddy all kinds of credit for pulling him through that 13th round, if you will, in a championship boxing match, and he was his corner man, and he pulled it through for Jordan Spieth. We'll talk about that and wrap things up when we come back. You're listening to Golf Talk America here on PGA Tour Radio. And welcome back to Golf Talk America here on PGA Tour Radio. Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett joining you. And we just had Bob Bupka on joining us. He, of course, on TuneIn Radio, toast of the grill room, coming to us from Manchester, where he was flying out or will be flying out tomorrow to come back from covering the Open Championship at Royal Birkdale. And before we said goodbye or said it to the break, Frank, we were talking about, I was about Michael Greller and how important his caddy was. And when I was referencing that I got to know Michael Greller, I was talking about a couple years ago when I was at the Valero Texas Open covering it on Sirius XM, and he got on me a little bit about being too loud during my calls when you had to do the, you know, the calls next to the green about, and Spieth has about 25 feet here for his birdie. And you're trying to do the golf announcer, but you have to also be close enough to see it, whatever. And Greller came on. First of all, he kind of told me to be quiet. Then he came in after the hole was over and walked by me, and he said, hey, dude, you got to keep it down. And I kind of got a little, not irritated, but I was like, I've got to do what I've got to do. You know,
not
I mean,
you.
I was like, I have to be able to see. I can't stand 400 yards away and make the call. I got to. So, you know, we just had a couple of words, but nothing bad. And the next day I went up to Spieth. He was having breakfast in the players' lounge. And I said, hey, Jordan, I just wanted to say that, you know, if I was too loud, I apologize. I certainly wasn't trying to interrupt you or anything like that. And he was real nice, and he goes, I didn't even notice anything. And so the caddy's job is to kind of do that. They're the buffer. And,
right.
You know, so
yeah,
I had a pretty good sense that I wasn't being too loud. But Greller was actually a lot closer to me than Spieth was. So I'm like, well, just because you can hear me doesn't mean he can. He's still 30 feet away from you. So
he's protecting his man. And
he was.
You know, interestingly enough, you brought that up. Roger Sarche, our good friend out in Los Angeles, he's part of the Golf Talk America team. He got in trouble with Bubba Watson's caddy at Riviera last year.
Is that right?
So there were a couple of words between those two. And I guess it runs in the Golf Talk America family that we're just are loud and obnoxious.
You know? Well, everybody's got to do what they have to do. I get it. It's like Spieth yesterday on, was it on 14? No, it was on 15, I guess it was. 16, I'm losing track here, when he held his swing up in the backswing. Remember when a cameraman stopped him?
How many people have you seen do that, okay?
Yeah.
That camera shutter goes off, Tiger and Jordan.
Yeah.
That's basically it. He stopped. But what what did if that happens to Bubba, and nothing against Bubba, we know Bubba, we like Bubba a lot. Tyler, right. Okay. They frown yep. or scowl. What did Spieth
right.
do? He laughed.
He chuckled about it.
Yeah.
And he kind of said, seriously, he goes right in my backswing. But
and he
to my point of Greller, you heard Greller say, okay, just reset, yeah. reset.
Okay. Well, also.
And he calmed him down. He said, yeah. take it easy. It's going to be fine. Because he knew it was still fragile at that time as far as his psyche, the game.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't
yeah.
over. The match was still going on. And he knew he had to calm him down. He also said a couple of other things during the match. One was when he was on the front nine and Spieth opened with three bogeys in the first four holes, Greller pulled him aside on the front nine and said, hey, remember that picture you took? And,
yeah,
and most
exactly.
people remember that the week before he was in Cabo.
Yep.
And there's a well-known picture that everybody got to see now that somebody tweeted out of him and Michael Jordan, Michael Phelps, Russell Wilson, there are a
yeah.
few others, but some world-class athletes and all champions in their sports that were there taking a picture. And Greller reminded, he said, remember that picture that was taken? Well, you belong in that picture. You're one of those guys. You're that. He was giving them the confidence to say,
yep.
even though you're making bogeys
yep.
and you don't have it. So Greller held him together. He's a little bit older, obviously, than Jordan by.
Was Greller not his math teacher?
Years.
Wasn't he his math instructor?
No, he was a math teacher.
He was
Seattle
a math teacher. Okay, I got you.
But not of Jordan. But he did caddy for Jordan. They got to know each other as a junior. So he caddied.
That's
when
right.
Jordan went out there, I believe, for a junior tournament in Seattle. Somebody just hooked them together and said, hey, here's this guy who's a teacher, but he caddies at Chambers Bay, you might want to use him. So Jordan knew him when he was like 17, 18 years old. And then when he became pro, he hired him full time. But Greller did a great job on that 13th hole when it was all up against it. And Spieth on the driving range, Greller was trying to keep him calm. Okay, we can get this. Now, it took a long time. We all talked about it. It took 30 minutes. But Greller wasn't grinding
yeah.
him. He wasn't. He's
no.
take your time. So you got to give him a lot of credit. Michael Greller earns a lot of money being a caddy for Jordan Spieth. It's a very good living coming from the sixth grade teacher in a public school to being a millionaire caddy now. But he earned his money. Boy, I tell you, and I'll tell you what too. When Spieth is done and over 30 years from here down the road, he's going to give a lot of credit, I think, to Michael Greller for a lot of this stuff because he's such a young guy, and his dad can't be there with him or his mom or any. That Greller's kind of become that mentor for him and a calming influence when he's on the road and when he's playing in these tournaments.
He did in his acceptance speech. You know, that shout out to Greller. Hey, you know, we talk about the caddies. Now, Bones McKay, you know, everybody knows Bones. I mean, we don't even have to say he's Phil Mickelson's caddy. Everybody knows that or was. Bones made his debut with Golf Channel as an on-course correspondent. Early in the week, he was asked before play started, they said, what do you think it's going to take to win this win the Open? He said, well, given the setup of Royal Birkdale, and I'm paraphrasing, okay, he said, you're not going to be able to get balls close to the hole, basically. So it's going to take someone, and it's going to be tough, and the weather's going to affect a lot of things. But he said, it's going to take somebody who can gut it out, have a bad hole, and then just come right back. And it's also going to take somebody who can consistently sink 20 to 30 footers. He said, so that would be Spieth. That's the call, right? The second, then during play, they asked him about the setup on the really pretty day, the soft day, you know, where everybody was complaining on the air that the course was set up too soft. He said, well, this course is gettable today. And guys, I think there's a 62 out there. He called that. So that's a pretty good debut as an on-course announcer to make both calls.
Yeah.
I call Spieth.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't a long shot by any stretch. He was the favorite.
No.
Everybody's
on DJ's going to overpower the course. I didn't think DJ was going to make the cut.
Yeah. They were the two favorites. They were the two favorites. And I don't know what's going on with DJ. What's happening? Brendan Grace is the guy you're referring to that shot 62, by the way, for people that did not catch that. It's the lowest round ever in
Canadian,
a major championship on Saturday. Brendan Grace from
South Africa. That's right. Sorry.
Yeah, South Africa shot a 62. Kind of amazing. And it does show you how weird the golf world is. Here's Brendan Grace's line. He opens with a 70, then 74, then 62, then 70. So it's like kind of out of nowhere. He's 12 shots better from one day to the next, and then the next day even – another eight shots different. That's what can happen. And that's why golf is, and I guess sports in general, you never know who's on one day and who's not. But it is kind of amazing how you see these major swings of 12 shots from one day to the next. Sometimes it's weather related. In this case, we haven't talked really about that. Royal Birkdale was gettable, wasn't it, Frank?
Yeah, it really was.
Because people talked about, oh, wait till you see the weather. And once again, the hyperbole. Everybody wants to overstate everything in these dramatic worlds we live in. Oh, the weather's going to be, oh, wait till you get to the weekend. It's going to be 30-mile-an-hour winds, and the rain's going to – well, it did rain some, and there were some gusts of wind. But all in all, I think the weather was a non-factor. You know, Jordan played through some rain, and Kuchar did yesterday. So there was some bad weather, but it wasn't miserable. It was playable. They never thought about stopping the game because of that. So it was gettable, and the score was indicative of that. As Spieth finished 12 under, you see some of the other champions at Royal Birkdale were over par. I mean, there's been some rounds there where guys have won championships because the weather has been horrendous, that were 12, 10, 12, 13 shots worse than what Spieth shot. So anyway, all in all, couldn't have been any better. I think it was just one of the great days of golf watching. I wish I could have been there, but as far as watching on TV, you couldn't ask for much more than what we got yesterday.
I was out on my deck grilling, cooking bacon on the grill early in the morning, fixing breakfast outside in the slummer kitchen. And that's a put-together summer kitchen.
Yeah.
It was a great day of golf. Caught some of the event at Opa-locka. And like I said, our good friend Dickie Pride did really well down there. Made a lot of birdies, played really well. So we'll get him on this week, too, to talk about that. Congrats to Jordan Spieth. But even more than that, congratulations to Matt Kuchar and his family. What a champion Matt Kuchar is, of an individual, of a golfer, of a father, and of a husband. And his wife, as they're coming off the course, I'm sure you caught this, Tim. There's Kuchar's family, his wife and kids, and Kuchar looks a little like shell-shocked. All of a sudden, his Matt Kuchar grin comes out because there's his wife and kids that greet him as he's coming off. He's just lost to Spieth. And what does his wife do? She stands up and hugs Jordan Spieth and said, "I'm so proud of you."
That tells you
what this game's all about right there.
Yeah. It was heartwarming, and you knew Kuchar. It was great to see the fans doing the cooch
every time he did it.
So, yeah, even in that part of the world where they don't see him that much and everything. So he's well deserving of all the attention that he gets, and it may very well be the closest he'll ever come to winning a major championship. But that aside, great family and such a class guy, and hopefully someone that young people watch when they want to play golf, see a guy like Matt Kuchar and say, okay, that's a guy I want to play like. I want to have his attitude. He's always smiling. He's always happy. They talked to him, I think, on Saturday, and he said, they're talking about the pressure. He said, well, yeah, there's pressure, but he says, I'm playing golf for a living. I love doing this. And so, you can't complain. You can't sit there and act like, oh, woe is me. And so many athletes do that about, oh, it's so tough. And what about that? And you're like, it's what you dreamt about doing when you were a kid, and you get to do it. So, Kuchar gets it, and that's what's cool about him.
It could not have been two finer men on Sunday afternoon coming down the stretch. The two, in my opinion, two of the best representatives of our game that we love so much were playing head-to-head. It was like match play on Sunday, and it was Kuchar and Spieth, and two of the best, two of the very best.
It was fun.
Best as, players, too, but best as people.
Just a few weeks, we'll have another showdown in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Don't count Kuch out at Quail Hollow. I'm going to go back and relook at his stats. I'd like to look at shot length on his drives, because if he can play Quail Hollow the way he dissected Birkdale, he's got a shot at Quail Hollow.
You talk about it being so tough. I think I'm going to predict right now that someone will win that championship. There will be a winner.
Wow.
So somebody is going to overcome.
Why are you reminding me of Mark Zucchino?
I'm going way out on the limb here, but somebody's going to pull it out, no matter how difficult.
That sounds like a Zucchino pick.
I want the drama. I can't wait. I just want whoever's
going
to, I want to see the drama.
Titleist will probably be the winning ball. I mean, that's an easy pick there.
Wow.
You think?
And before we go, and I know we got to go, the music's going to start here. You got to think Spieth will never, ever put that Scotty Cameron putter in another bag again. As long as that thing is got a breath of life in it, he's going to play at that putter. I know he switched earlier this year. Don't know why. But that thing is magic. Every championship he's ever won has been with that exact putter.
When we come back,
most valuable putter in the world.
On the next show, let's talk about his putting stroke, because there's some real insight into that. Interesting.
Yep. It's golden. It's magic. It is. All right, that'll do it. Again, congratulations to Jordan Spieth and winning the Open Championship at Royal Birkdale. Thanks to Bob Bupka for joining us. Thanks to all of you for listening. We do appreciate it. So for Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Please join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.